at newspress.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel, and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre LaFon Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And Sansum Clinic, whose multi-specialty team of medical professionals have been providing quality care to you and your family for 99 years. And we're here today with James McVeigh, who's an author of a book called Right Brain Music Method. And we're going to talk about some of the really interesting techniques that he has developed, which will make all of us able to win awards in music, right? That you've guaranteed. Yeah, that's right. This is a money-back guarantee.
That's right.
So, the thing that disturbed me most about reading about you is that you said Darwin believed that early humans used singing to attract a mate, and I can't sing a note. So how did I get a mate?
Well, I guess there's a big gray area in between, but a lot of animals perform for the opposite sex to, you know, the turkeys and flamboyance and all that kind of stuff. But we have been using music. Humans have used music to evolve. We've actually evolved creating music. And there are a lot of scientists out there that have written books directly related to how important and what a huge part music has played in our evolution.
And it's also a critical part of our education. Neuroscience today says that in teaching 0 to 5, which is the most important age for brain development, there's been some really interesting testing where they found that those students, no matter what their abilities were, who had music class, did much better all through the early 20s.
Yeah.
And that music, and it's part of it, they think, is being part of a team. Part of it is being using that side of the brain where music comes from. But it's found that whether you're good, bad, or mediocre, learning music at an early age really helps brain development.
It really does. And it's amazing when you see little kids in nursery school. The first thing they start to do is to learn to sing together. And it's so funny. They learn the song really quickly and the words, and they're just singing it after hearing it once or twice. We are designed to create music, and our brains remember literal information better if there's a melody connected to it. And for instance, Jewish people, when they have their bar mitzvah, they sing the prayers. Because if the prayers are put to a melody, they don't misconstrue the words because they're learning a different language. When we learn the alphabet, we use a song to learn the alphabet, and most cultures do that because it's a long string of literal information. And if we attach a melody to it, our brains are more designed to remember melodies than long strings of literal
information. So is this true? I think it's true based on my own experience. I can't sing a note, but if I imagine a song that I heard on the radio, I actually hear it as sung by the singer with the right pitch and the right... So my memory is able to retain the actual song, even though if I try to imitate it, it's just no resemblance.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting phenomenon about how the brain can capture, as you talk about, capture the actual music as sung.
And they've done studies on that, and they've studied like large groups of people where they've said, "Do you remember this song?" And they go, "Oh yeah." And they go, "Well, can you sing it?" And even if they sing it badly, 90% of the time they get within one whole step of the actual pitch and the actual key that the song was sung in. It's just it's astonishing, some of these things. And now with all the things we're learning about the human brain, they're using music as a field of study to study the human brain because we are so connected to music.
And music to me, I don't know whether this is, you know, an empirical test that really has no validity, but in my own experience, the people I know that are good at music are good at math. Is that just my own experience, or is there a relationship between math and music?
There is a little bit of math in music, but it's simple math. It's fractions. And I'm not good at math. And
Are you good at music, though?
I've been doing it my whole life.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, just want to check to see.
Yeah. but you know, when there is some like fractions, like I said, you know, whole notes and half notes and quarter notes and eighth notes and understanding how that works. And that's just breaking up a piece of pie, you know. And also when it comes to instruments of different types, there's a geometry to the way instruments work. And that's kind of what I use in my method of teaching, is I make people aware of, for instance, the architecture of a piano. If you understand the architecture of the piano and you can find C on the piano, you can learn all you want to learn about music.
And you said that the piano is the most elegant, I don't know if that's the right word that you used, instrument, because it, what?
Well, it's polyphonic, which means you can play more than one note at a time. In fact, you can play 10, or there are people do duets on the piano where two people are playing and they're using 20 fingers to play this one instrument. It's fascinating. And the great thing about the piano, it's the ideal music teacher because it starts at the bottom and it just goes all the way up. And it's laid out architecturally so you can, if you look at it that way, you can find things faster. And you can teach yourself more about music faster with a piano.
You know, I asked a friend of mine who actually wrote a song, and I said, how do you feel when you write a song and you write the music and somebody writes the words and you both got an award? It's so much easier to write the words than it is the music. And he said, you don't understand. People that can write music, it's just as easy for them or hard than it is for people to write words. It's a different talent. Is that a true statement, that people who can't write, who can't create music like me, think it's like mystical?
I understand that. And it's not that mystical when you look at it with its different elements. It's really not mystical. And there's a certain rhythm to the way people talk. And there's a certain rhythm to poetry and prose. And as a musician, you're thinking rhythm all the time. So when you see words written down, you think of a musical thing based on the rhythm of the prose or the poetry.
Now, you've dedicated your current life to teaching.
Yes.
So you were, and we'll talk about it later, a successful musician, author, song, music writer, but now you are trying to make it possible for people to learn. And one of the things you said is that you could actually learn how to be a musician without knowing how to read notes.
Yes.
And why is that?
Well, music, playing music is like speaking a language. Music is a language. It's not very argued over. Everybody knows music is a language. And like any language, you can learn to speak it without reading and writing it. And I think any language, you need to speak it first, and then you learn to read and write it. You need to be at least functional in a language before reading and writing it has any context. I open up workshops. I take a book written in Italian, and I'll read a paragraph. And I'll put a phony Italian accent on it just for fun. But I'll read a paragraph in this book, and I put it down, and I go, I just read Italian. The problem is, I don't speak Italian, so I have no idea what I just said. And in order to play music and carry on a dialogue musically, you need to be able to speak the language of music, not just read the language. In fact, nobody who jams out, or jazz artists, they don't read that. They are taking from their musical knowledge and they're having a dialogue. If I couldn't have a dialogue with you if I had to read it from a piece of paper, you see what I mean? So that therein lies the rub. And I teach people to speak the language of music. I've even had, you know, I've had some concert pianists come to me and say, I can read anything, but I'm afraid to touch my piano if there's not music on it.
Which is interesting, because when I learned the piano, which was my 2-week career when I was 9, the teacher suggested I find something else to do, because I couldn't get the music, the notations.
Reading the notation.
It was not about the piano. It was about, you know, look at that and then do this. It wasn't do this.
Yes.
And so it would just turn me off to it, because it was too hard.
Yeah, it is very hard. And if you don't have a good, strong analytical side of your brain, it's you know, you go, why? Music's supposed to be fun, and this is not fun.
Right. So. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a 4-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a 4-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with James McVeigh, author of Right Brain Music Method, Reinventing the Way We Learn Music. So, right brain. So remind me what the difference is between my right brain and my left brain.
Well, the right brain is the creative brain, and the left brain is the analytical side of the brain. Mm-hmm. So the creative brain conceptualizes things, and the left side of the brain, you know, pulls them apart and tries to analyze them.
So how does that manifest itself in learning music? Is it something that requires focusing on those things the right brain will be most likely respond to?
Well, now I use the term as a broad term. Actually, music is processed all over your brain, but I wanted to get away from the analytical part of and when I started this whole idea was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, and we didn't quite know all that we know now about the brain. But the analytical, I had a real hard time with the analytical process of reading and writing. I eventually learned to read, and I wrote movie scores, so, you know, the old style with a pen and a paper. But so I do understand how that works. But oddly, then after I did that for about 25 years, I wearied of the business, and I started teaching again. And I found that whenever I would recite musical nomenclature to a prospective student, they'd glaze over. And I thought, this is not working. You know, I'm doing something wrong. And I taught myself music. I'm a self-taught musician. And I went all the way to learning to read and write and all that stuff. So that's all great. But I was completely turned off when I was a kid at those dots because I just couldn't do it. But I became I did start playing professionally when I was about 14 years old. So I've been doing it a really long time. And I've done most everything. And I must say, most musicians and most of the best musicians in the world don't read music. You don't have to. Eric Clapton doesn't read music. Tommy Emmanuel doesn't read music. Joe Pass didn't read music. He could read music, but he chose not to because it just gets in the way of the dialogue. Like I said before, if I had to read my answers to you from a book, it'd sound, you know, you just couldn't do it.
So there's hope for me then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I can't read music.
Good. Yeah. So, no. I can teach you to play. I could teach you to play the piano in less than an hour, and I'd teach you all the music theory you would need to know.
And you can do that for people on the web. You don't have to live in Santa Barbara Ventura.
No.
So one of the things that you've been able to do is democratize this process
yes.
by providing online learning. And
that's
how
right.
does one do that?
Well, I have a website. There's a website called thinkific.com. And it's an educational platform. And my book is on that platform. And I have what I feel is a more unique way of doing it, where I have a page of the book, and I have a video of me going through every line in the book and showing you on the keyboard how to execute these different musical.
So you've chosen to use the piano as the universal teaching tool.
Yes.
Where it's interesting because you look at young people today, everyone wants to play the guitar.
Yes.
And the guitar is not as vibrant a way of teaching. Is it?
It is now because I just.
Oh.
I now have the right brain music method for guitar. I have one for the ukulele. I brought you a copy of the ukulele one. And I have one for bass guitar. And it goes with the exact same principles that I use for the piano. And I do it. Each one is designed to work with that instrument. How do I do these chords? Why am I doing these chords? And why am I doing which chords I'm doing? And how do I play a melody? And how do I shred on the guitar? It's all in there. And it's very simple. So I tried to make these very simple lessons to just get you up playing because I feel people would like some, they want faster results. You know, you might pick up a piano method where it teaches you to read, you know, E, F, G, F, E, F, G, F, B, C, D, C, B, you know, like that. And you practice melodies by old dead European guys. Nobody wants to do that. They want to do Truth Hurts by Lizzo, which, by the way, I put on YouTube. It's just a very simple thing. And I do this thing on YouTube where I teach a song in 3 minutes or less. And it's just music is so simple, but we've made it really, really hard because we have put this analytical process between our hearts and how much we want to play music and actually getting to play the music.
You talk about melody, and this is, again, showing my age. You know, I listen to the new stuff. The new stuff, good or bad, has no melody. Is melody done?
No. No, not at all. Melody is the single most important element of music.
So what's going on?
Do you remember in the 50s when they did that beat poetry?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is the new version of beat poetry, in my view. I think this is beat poetry, and it's about the tough situations of existence for a lot of different cultures, and that's their way of, you know, striking out and saying, here's what I think. I feel it's been used a little irresponsibly because I really don't care how many diamonds people have or how many Rolls Royces they got or anything like that.
But I just wonder how much of the people who are up and coming are going to look at that as what's called music. You know, it's funny. I sound like my parents now, but, you know, I like rock and roll, and people say that's not, you know, Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we ended up like our parents. But there really is a difference between what has been typically considered the American songbook and what we see today.
I feel, and what I try to keep up with a lot, there's so much music, I mean, going on, but I like some of the rap stuff and the hip hop where they've got a chorus singing behind the person who's doing the rap. So there are musical elements to it. And I try to focus on those. For instance, the Lizzo thing, Truth Hurts. She talks this whole thing, but she talks it to a rhythm. And she's got, there's a piano figure. And the interesting thing about a lot of this rap and hip hop stuff is the musical figures are super simple, incredibly simple, and they tend to repeat all the way through the song. And so as I was writing this book, I was teaching at a school in Sherman Oaks for kids who have focus issues, you know, ADD and ADHD and spectrum kids and that sort of thing. And they picked this up instantly. And they were so fascinated with the rap and the hip hop. Because if you're a 13-year-old boy and rap isn't your main jam, you know, you're not cool. So I'd teach these kids songs by Drake and songs by Travis Scott and Lizzo and stuff, because that's what they want to hear. And in doing so, I teach them the theory of what's going on while they're learning songs they want to learn.
So when you put a song on YouTube by Lizzo, do you need clearances or can you just do that?
No, you don't, unless you're making an enormous amount of money off of it.
So you can consider it educational.
And that's, it is educational. Yeah. And I don't do, I just put it on for free, but I don't do it to make any money because then I would be violating a...
So you play guitar, I take it?
I do.
You play piano?
I do.
You play banjo, I'm guessing?
I do.
Okay, now I'm out of guesses. What else do you play?
Anything with strings, I'm pretty adept.
Except for the harp, which is apparently
play the harp.
Oh, because that's apparently really difficult.
The harp is very, very difficult when you have to learn the pedals and things.
And there's no money in it, apparently.
Apparently there's no money in it.
Unless you do weddings.
Yeah, unless you do weddings. But there are Celtic harps that are much easier to play because they play in one key or maybe two keys.
So your book is web-based, but it's also in paper?
Yeah. Yep. I have paper copies. I'm old school. I like a paper copy. But I, on the website, I have a page of the paper and then, with keyboard on it or whatever, and then I have a video of me showing you how to do everything on every page. It's just, you know, my books are designed a certain way because as I was a kid, I would buy all these books to try to learn, and I'd open up the page and I'd go, how much of this am I supposed to learn? You know, this, I didn't know what to do, so... So I try to design my books to not give you too much information on one page. Let's walk through this. Let's absorb it. And then we'll move on because it's a game of add-on. It builds on itself.
You know, I told the story once before on the show, but it's really relevant to this discussion. And that is when I was in high school, I never could learn calculus because they taught it as a language that I happened not to be able to speak.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to graduate school, they taught calculus intuitively. They said, here's how you can use it to find sales growth stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to learn it because it had an intuitive understanding that made sense to me intellectually.
Right.
And so I understand, I think that what I'm hearing is that you're teaching people in a way that ironically uses the left part of the brain too.
Yeah.
Which is probably something I could have learned. It's too late, but you know.
Well, the principles of music are super, super simple, and I feel that trying to teach someone to read the notes first, it doesn't really get them very far, and then they get disenchanted. And the worst part of it is they quit music, something that they loved. They quit it because they felt that they weren't good enough to do it, and that, to me, is a bad thing. like, I can't do this, like they failed or something. You
You're
know?
Listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with James McVeigh, author of Right Brain Music Method, Reinventing the Way We Learn Music. And the whole idea of music teaching, there's only so much you can do on YouTube. And one of the things that AHA has done is it started to spend a lot of its resources on teaching teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way to really make a difference is to have it grow so that many, many more people can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So are you involved at all with teaching teachers?
I am. And I designed this book for... I had the homeschool teaching idea in mind, and this teaches the mother or the father or whoever is doing the teaching in the homeschool situation. It teaches them to teach the child. It's because it's so simple. And as you're learning and teaching the child, you learn how music works, and the child learns how music works, and there's a bonding that goes on there, which is pretty amazing. I mean, we have precious little time to actually sit with our children and do this kind of work. But to do this with the music thing, it's a deep, deep bond. And it's, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, music over, you know, the eons has been something that has really tied mother and child together.
And communities together.
Yeah, communities together.
Yeah. When people make music together, their brains secrete oxytocin. And it's a bonding, you know, it's a hormone that engenders bonding. And we have used music and dance. Well, a guy named John Blacking was one of the first ethnomusicologists, and he traveled all over the world and studied over 1,000 different cultures. And he found that they all used music as an integral part of every day. And up to this point, anthropology-wise, they have never discovered a single culture that didn't use music as part of its everyday life. So it's just been with us.
I attended the Sims Man Foundation's Neurobiology Day a couple of months ago, which had a lot of studies that involve this subject, including music. Mm-hmm. And so people listening, this is not just, you know, empirical. This is they do brain scans mm-hmm. on kids, and they can watch certain things light up,
right.
Certain parts of the brain light
with
up.
The fMRI.
So, yes. So they even have developed, in the University of Washington developed an MRI that you can put a one-month-old in.
Wow.
Which is really a tremendous advancement, and it's like a space shuttle capsule.
Yeah.
But they're able to actually not just think that this is working, but to actually see the results as how music changes the brain.
That's right.
So, what kind of music do you like the best? And I mean, not necessarily teaching, but what do you like to listen to?
I really love lyrics that make me think. And I like to listen to people who write songs that are immensely evocative.
Such as?
Tom Waits. He's a very evocative songwriter. Steve Earle. I love Patty Griffin. And I listen to a lot of stuff. I use that Spotify thing, and I will find a little beginning of a thread, and I'll follow it all the way down until I...
I was going to say James Taylor, but I guess that's too mundane.
Well, no, James Taylor is the... he's one of the nicest guys in the world, and he is just the emperor of singer-songwriter. He's the guy.
Oh, okay. So yeah. I wasn't off base.
Oh, no. And I did, I played a lot of rock and roll till I was about 14 or something like that. And
how come you're not deaf?
I don't know. I'm pretty, because I switched to James Taylor and Crosby, Stills, and Nash when I was a teenager.
But how come you're not a drug addict?
Well,
I'm just keep moving along.
I don't want to delve into the past. Anyway, so, but I love songs that have meaning to them, because music is so emotionally powerful for me. I love writing songs that I'm finishing a song that's called Stand and Deliver. And it's a song about a love story about a fretless banjo finding its way to a person that loves it.
And, we're talking Disney here, by the way.
Well, I don't think Disney would go for it, but and it also is a song about our lives and how every circle around the sun we get, these years just, they evaporate. Whatever happened to all those summers we spent, you know, playing down by the river? And what happened to all those falls, you know, the autumn leaves they just let go. The winds took them blow by blow. Robbers and thieves, you know, stole the years away. And that's the stand and deliver thing. It was a term that they used back in England, where they would stop a stagecoach and they'd tell everyone on the stagecoach to stand and deliver. And that meant they all had to get out of the stagecoach and hand over their jewelry and money.
So if you write a song today, do you write it for your own enjoyment, or do you write it for the hopes of having some singer sing it?
Never. I write it for my own enjoyment. All of my music.
But you have, in the past, had a pretty, you know, robust professional career.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So tell us about that.
Well, I did, I've been doing it for so long. I was a road musician, played in nightclubs and concerts and stuff. And then I got out here and I wrote some music for television. And that sort of caught fire. And I spent 25 years writing, started out with documentaries and then did some series television and then did television movies. And so I did about 25 years of that. And,
sounds like a prison sentence. I did my 25 years.
Well,
it doesn't sound.
I know if I'd committed murder, I'd be out by now. you know, but yeah, twice. For me, you know, people go, "Don't you ever run out of ideas?" Mm. No. If I see a picture, it evokes music in me. It's because it's the language that I've spoken. It's really been my language and my way of being able to say things that were emotional that I wasn't able to say out, you know, just outright.
Final question before we go to break. Yeah. How old is too old to learn?
I taught a guy who was 85 years old to play You Are My Sunshine for his 84-year-old wife. I did it in less than an hour, and I taught it to him on piano and mandolin.
How'd he do?
He did great. He sang it for her right after I got done. It was, oh my gosh. So you're never too old.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
With some health providers, you get the impression that the final goal is profit. But Sansum Clinic is a nonprofit. Their final goal is health.
Sansum Clinic was started by doctors and is still directed by doctors dedicated to offering the very best in healthcare and healing for our patients.
A nonprofit organization where all earnings go back into continually improving healthcare for our community.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansum Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, communicate, and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with James McVeigh, author of Right Brain Music Method. And I just read a thing saying that AHA helps teens achieve goals. And a lot of the teens that come to AHA are under an incredible amount of stress. It's very difficult to be a teen today. It always was difficult, but particularly today, and in the environment we're in, and if you're Hispanic, it's even more difficult. How can music help?
The most apparent benefit that I see for kids, teens, and young adults, music empowers people. And let's say you learn that little Lizzo song and you go to a party next weekend and they have a piano in the living room and you sit down and do that and you do the Lizzo song, you are instantly a rock star. If you can pull out your ukulele and play Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, which is super easy to do, you're automatically a rock star. And you know, so I tell my kids, my ninth graders, not the younger ones, but the ninth graders, I go, look, if you can play a couple of songs on the piano and you can really enhance your social life when you go to a party and you just sit down and play that song. And I look at the boys and I go, it's going to really help your social life. I said, because the girls are going to come over and say, play it again, and they're going to want to sing it. If you can sing the shallow in the into the, I put that on my YouTube channel too, because that song is so beautiful. And when you hear the two of them sing that, oh my gosh. So anyway, but if you can play a song, they'll want to hear it 3, 4, 5 times, and it makes you feel liked and accepted and it's so good for
you. So you're the kind of guy that goes to a party dressed with a tuxedo and a cigarette in his mouth and a scotch in one hand, looks for the piano and sits down and just starts playing.
I've always wanted to do that, but I didn't.
Well, it depends on what
I'm more
era.
Of a jeans and T-shirt kind of guy. But in any case, you know, it's so funny because I've gone through my whole life going to somebody's house and they go, "Did you bring your guitar?" You know, and I do because it brings us together, you know. And I don't need to play all my songs for you. What would you like to hear? Mm-hmm. You know, I was at a thing, camping trip in Gainesville, Florida, a few weeks ago, and you know, I'm playing Teach Your Children, and here are these young families, and they all know the song. And for them to be able to sing, and then the kids, their children, were getting up and performing, and they were doing Hallelujah on the guitar, and just to hear those children playing, it just opens you up. It's really amazing.
When somebody says to a really good musician, "Can you play so and so?" and the musician says, "Well, can you just hum it to me? I don't know that song." And you hum it to them, and they pick it up. Is that playing by ear? I mean, is that so? That's a talent that goes beyond any of this, right? To be able to pick up on a tune that you never heard before and actually play it.
It's just like being able to carry on a conversation once you know how to speak the language. It's really nothing more than that. And most music is very common language. You've heard of the 1-4-5 chords, or you might have heard that rock and roll is only 3 chords.
Yes.
It's pretty true. Maybe 4 chords. There's a funny thing. There's a band called the Axis of Awesome, and they're from Australia. And they do this thing where he says, I want to write a pop hit. And he goes, "Oh, that's easy." You know, and how do you do it? You know, so they go through 47 of the most popular songs for the last 20 years, and all of them are the exact same chord progression.
So how do they have all these lawsuits then about stealing music?
Well, they have judges who go on their experts and go, "Well, that's too much like, you know, like when George Harrison did My Sweet Lord." I really was listening for the background singers going, "Doolang, doolang." You know what I mean? You know, so.
And they made another song from that.
Oh, did he? Oh, yeah, probably wrote a song. But there are only 7, our music is based on 7 notes, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, and ti. You can only do a certain amount of things with 7 notes. And so there's only 7 chords. They all can be changed a little bit here and there, but we're all working with a very small amount of colors, primary colors, and then when we start blending those together, we get a much bigger palette from which we can.
Okay, so this is going to show my total ignorance, but why are there only 7? Is that because of nature, or is that it's not because of structure of mechanics? That's all there are.
Yeah. There are 12 because Pythagoras came and said, "Wait a second, I hear a difference in vibration between do and re and fa and mi and fa. So what's going?" So he found those other 5 notes.
But nobody cares.
Which, well, they do because those are the black keys on the piano, you see. And so now we started out with, there are some bone flutes that one of them is dated at 34,000 years old. There's one that's dated at 20,000 years old, and guess what it plays? The major scale. Just as it is, it plays a major scale. Where did it come from? Nobody knows, but we had those 7 notes. And then we split up a few of those notes, and now we have these 5 other notes. But as a foundation, and I really focus on this, our musical foundation is do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. Everything else is built on that bedrock of a foundation.
So if a new student can become somewhat proficient with those notes, they can really grow exponentially? Is that the whole idea behind this?
Yep. The melodies are patterns. Patterns, patterns, patterns. Music is all patterns. And you were talking about Mozart. That Mozart effect is because Mozart repeated patterns over and over and over. And that helped people's minds settle down and work in a more contiguous way. In any case, the melodies are patterns. The chords are notes from that same scale, and those chords are put into a chord progression, which is a pattern. And then those chord progressions are put into more patterns, verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. It's all, and music theory is about recognizing the patterns and being able to follow those patterns. That's what tells you how music works.
If I was at Juilliard today, you were a guest speaker, and you were basically saying everything you said on this show so far, would people be like, wow, this is unbelievable, or were they all yawn? I mean, is this what you're saying, is this generally accepted understanding of music today for sophisticated people, or are we talking about something that, you know, is really on the cutting edge?
Yes and no, and both.
Okay, that's very helpful.
I did do a. I know. Sorry, I did do. I did do a lecture at the Berklee School of Music on when I wrote this big tome called The Right Brain Guitar Method, and they were kind of open to it. But you have to understand that the people who go to these big schools and teach at these big schools, they were taught to read, and so they believe that that's the right way to teach. Before there was notation, and I'd love to talk about that because there's a history there that's pretty defined. They're invested, and to a lot of great degree of money, they're invested in the way they were taught. So for somebody to come along and say, you know, I can teach the same thing and have these people doing the same thing in a lot less time, and you know, and personally, I feel it's more effective. They're just going to go, well, you're nuts, and get out of here.
Yeah, you know, I taught for 12 years at City College. I taught finance, which is not exactly the same as music, but I found that all the textbooks and all of the teachers taught the same old stuff that I learned when I was in business school in the 70s. That's all very passé now.
Yeah.
But I think part of it is academia is just lazy.
Yeah. And, yeah, I agree. You know, music has been handed down before there was this notation system that we use now, which we've only had for 500 years. People were musical for thousands of years. How did they learn it? It wasn't written down. And they learned it by watching and mimicking and practicing.
And using their iPod.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Sansom Clinic. We're there at the beginning.
And all the little and big steps along the way.
200 physicians for your every need.
A healthcare system where all profits go back into our community's health.
Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system. Your health.
Your doctors.
Your healthcare system.
Sansom Clinic. Good for you.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with James McVeigh, author of Right Brain Music Method, who is guaranteed he will teach me how to play as well as any guitarist in 1 week. This is an amazing accomplishment. I'm really
You are my sunshine.
However, I will not have to read notation, and that's something that, you know, is sort of probably surprising a lot of people. So, what you're bringing to the table is there's no really need to learn how to read music. Certainly not in the beginning.
Certainly not in the beginning, and to get instant results like playing the songs you really love to play. If you want to have a long career in music, it's helpful to learn to read. And the thing is, once you learn music to speak the language functionally, then when you go to learn to read and write it, there's a context there. And you are also able to dialogue with another musician. You can go play the blues with somebody. I found in my many years of writing for orchestra that I could not write ad lib on a score and expect the musician to be able to ad lib. I had a guy who was a concert master, and I wrote some stuff. I wrote ad lib on the score, and he stopped playing in the middle of this take. And I went, "What did you do?" He goes, "Well, I need the notes to be written down to play it." I said, "It's two bars. Make it up." And he said, "I can't. I need the notes to be written down." So I walked over and I wrote 8 notes down, and he played them. But there are many, many, many people like that.
How do you write music if you don't know how to? Let's say you're really a great musician, very creative, but you don't know how to do notation. How do you write music?
Well, nowadays you can just record it. You don't need to write it down. But or you can play. You can, if you can play it on the keyboard, you can have it spit out with all these programs that they have.
Wow.
Fortunately, those programs weren't around when I started writing. But that was the good news, because I learned how to write for orchestra with a pencil and a score pad, which for me was very, very helpful, and it gave me a sense of, you know, empowerment, as you know.
Okay, so we're all excited now. We have 1 minute left. Let's all get online. How are we going to learn how to play music? How do we get in touch with you?
Well, I have a website, therightbrainmusicmethod.com, or just rightbrainmusicmethod.com, and that'll lead you to the online course, which teaches piano. And now I've just started doing the videos, because I have the Right Brain Music Method for guitar and the Right Brain Music Method for ukulele and the Right Brain Music Method for bass guitar, all built around my principles of teaching and applying that to these different instruments.
Do you also give private lessons?
I do.
And that's for people that...
They should contact me at rightbrainmusic@yahoo.com.
You guarantee that I will be on America's whatever, right?
Don't get me started.
I guarantee that I can teach you to play and sing a song that you love in an hour, and you'll understand the theory.
Wow, there you go. So, anyway, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I wish I would have met you 60 years ago.
It's never too late.
Yeah. Thank you, James, and thank you for listening to AHA Presents About Education, and we'll see you next week.